Learn how to use your Bibles. It's not a book. Physically, it's a book. Spiritually, it's the living Word of God. It's alive.
Amen.
We need to respect it. We need to reverence it. I do. So I only encourage you. I can't make you. I pray that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide us this day through the living Word of God. I'm going to start in verse 13 on chapter 2. But before I start, I just want to go over a couple of things from last week, especially for those who weren't here. The title of this message is a portion of a verse you're very familiar with. It comes from the Sermon on the Mount and the greatest preacher that ever set foot on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples asked him how to pray, and he said, I'm not going to do the whole prayer here. Thy kingdom come. This is the title of this message. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Last week we discussed that the Bible speaks of two kingdoms. We know that Adam was to be the king of this earth, the ruler of this earth, the domain, but then the fall. Satan usurped the role from Adam, and he is the prince and the power of the air of this kingdom. The kingdom of darkness, it's referred to, of rebellion against holy God. The other kingdom is the kingdom of God / kingdom of heaven, and also called the kingdom of light. We talked about last week that there's four principles to a kingdom. You have to have a king. The king has to have a dominion to rule. The king has a set of rules, of commands, that governs his kingdom. And fourth, the citizens of that kingdom. I'm not going to go in depth to what we covered in regards to that last week. Hopefully, Brian will be able to upload that, and you'll be able to listen to that, because that is crucial to where I'm going to be going from today, to keep our mindsets on that. A few things that we discussed last week. Was the realms. As born again believers, children of God, born out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light, yet we still live on this earth in the kingdom of darkness as kingdom citizens. Our loyalty to is our king. But yet he commands us to be loyal to the governing forces of this earth as well. We'll see that in a little bit. We can live in two realms as Christians. Let me explain. Physical. We're physical human beings, limited to time and space. We have eyes to see with, ears to hear with, noses to smell, mouths to taste, hands to feel. We can sense the physical world around us, but we're only limited to right here and now. We don't know what's going on in Florida with Jeff and Jen. So we can live in the spiritual realm. But we're told by God's word, we're not to walk in the flesh. Okay, we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is holy and pleasing to God, so that our members of our body can be used as instruments of righteousness. This is in Romans 6. Leading us to holiness, because in 1 Peter, he tells us to be holy, for he is holy. He wouldn't tell us to be holy if we weren't capable to be holy, only by his Spirit. The physical realm, that's how we're supposed to live this life now as his citizens. We're bought with the blood of Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not here with us, but he is here with us because he reigns in our hearts. That's why when he preached, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Even John the Baptist, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And even when Jesus was ready to depart, he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. It's imperative for me to leave so that I could send you my helper, the Holy Spirit. His work was just about to be completed, and now it's the work of the Holy Spirit in the church until he comes again for his bride. Get the picture. Get the picture. This is kingdom preaching. Jesus was a kingdom preacher, and so was John the Baptist, so were his apostles, so were Paul, was Paul. I mentioned last week, I did a study, and in my translation, in the book of Matthew alone, over 50 times the phrase, the kingdom of God / the kingdom of heaven. I remember from pastors telling me, if you see something written three times in the Bible, it's very important. You better pay attention. What about this? And if you count all the other Gospels in the book of Acts, it's over 100 times. Very important. So keep this in mind, brothers and sisters. By faith, remember, we're saved by faith through grace. Okay? Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. So we live by faith as kingdom citizens, but our enemy is a roaring lion trying to crush our faith, to doubt God. Okay. Verse 13, chapter 2. My translation says, therefore. We talked about that word. I'm going to stop right there. What's the therefore? Again, we want to get the context of what is being said here. Let's go back to the next two verses and pick it up there, and then read into verse 13 to help us to understand. Beloved, I beg you. You hear that? You hear him beg. I beg you as sojourners. There's that word again. Sojourners and pilgrims. Because in chapter 1, we saw that they were the dispersed. They were suffering the persecution that was breaking out because Nero was persecuting them because of their faith. He was afraid because they were talking about a new kingdom and a new king, and it offended him. Okay? And he didn't want anybody to take his rule from him. Again, the kingdom of darkness was within his heart and mind. He's not the enemy. The prince of the power of the air is the enemy. So these Christians were scattered because of their faith. They were living out their faith openly. They were enjoying their faith in the beginning, but then persecution broke out. And he calls them sojourners and pilgrims. Now listen, abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Hear that. Here's those two realms. You see it? You see it? It's throughout Scripture. Abstain from your fleshly lusts. Don't live and don't walk in the flesh because it wars against your soul. God saved our souls. The body will die and go into the ground as dust. But we will be fitted with a glorified body. That's the hope that was in 1 Peter. In this we rejoice. The inheritance that awaits us eternally with new bodies. You can have it all now. Follow Satan. Hey, you can live 80, 90, 100 years. The broad way leads to destruction. Verse 12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as an evildoer, and they will, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now we go to 13. So therefore, so because of what we just read, therefore, here's that word. Submit. The world doesn't like that word. Submit. No, you're your own boss. Have it your own way. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme. We are to live as his kingdom citizens. God has ordained government. There's an order. And we'll see why. Next verse. Or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. It's there for law and order, to protect the innocent and to punish those who are evil. Now, we know we live in a fallen world. We don't see that happening. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But this is God's will for government. But they don't bow their knee to God. They're bowing their knee to Satan. And that's why we see this. We don't see peace because the Prince of the Peace is coming. He's the only one that'll bring peace. I don't care who gets elected. We're not going to see peace. Amen. Not until Jesus comes. We should be praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth. Verse 15. For this is the will of God. You want to know the will of God? Here it is. It's throughout the Bible. But if you're not picking up your Bibles and you're not reading them, you're not going to know God. It's not that hard. He's not making this elusive where we don't understand it. It's for the plowman. It's not for the theologian. We've been buffaloed. We think that they have to interpret this. Who's my interpreter? Who's my teacher? That's what Jesus said. Not that the theologians don't have their proper place, but it's been turned over to the point where now we don't even open up our Bibles. It's not good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of the foolish men. Boy, powerful. As set free. We're set free. We're set free from the kingdom of darkness by Christ, yet not using our liberty as a cloak of vice. Why should we go back to sinning? But as servants of God, as kingdom citizens, submit, surrender all. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. I hope you have a healthy fear of God. And honor the king. God has established the order in government. He is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. Now we're going to look at the workplace. Verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters. Now let me just change two words in there so we can have a better understanding in the day we live. Employees, be subject to your bosses. Now listen to this, with all reverence. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Get that? I'm sharing with Brother Joe, I had a difficult time this week, and this verse kept, the Holy Spirit was nailing me. You're walking in the flesh, Ed. Walking in the flesh. I had a choice, either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. Praise God that I yielded to the Holy Spirit because he reminded me, do not revile those who revile you. And if they accuse me wrong, if they do things that just don't seem like they add up, then they're not doing things right. God is in control. Who am I to think that to tell God? I know better than him. I'm to submit myself to God and submit that person to him and let God judge him righteously. Okay? So in the workplace, for this is commendable. You hear that? Verse 19. This is commendable. This is all practicality. Okay? Most of this is all practical. But we have to understand the realm. We have to understand we have been bought. We're in this kingdom of God. Okay? The spiritual realm, the physical realm. It's by faith. Again, you don't get those glimpses of God working your life without faithful, loving obedience, trusting God. What he's saying here, he's telling us to do it this way. By faith, trust me, because the world's teaching us if somebody wrongs you, you do one better. If because of conscience towards God, boy, you want to have a clear conscience. One endures grief, suffering wrongfully. We're going to get to this in the next text. You're going to see this. Pray that you do. For what credit is it if, when you, Ed, are chastised for your faults and you take it patiently? If I do something wrong, I deserve it. So what credit is it? Take it. But listen. But when you do good and you suffer for it, if you take it patiently, that's the fruit of the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit, or you're walking in the flesh and you're not taking it patiently and you're lashing out. And who are you representing? Certainly not the kingdom of light. If you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Now listen to this. Verse 21. Do you realize this, brothers and sisters? Listen. For to this we are called. You hear that? We're followers of Jesus Christ. Now listen to what comes up after this. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Okay? Leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. As his citizens, we are to be loyal to our king, not to our former king, Lucifer, who is a murderer and a liar and a thief. He is a taskmaster. I was under his rule for 34 years. 34 years. But by the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, the cross, brother, and his resurrection, I was delivered. I found the pearl of great price. Didn't deserve it. Want to share it. I hope we all do. We're to follow his steps. Look at this. Who committed no sin? We. Spotless lamb. Perfect. Nor was guile found in his mouth. Our blessed Lord. Who when he was reviled on a cross, this is what it's talking about. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he suffered on that cross, he didn't threaten. People were making fun of him and mocking him as he hung there suffering. He even prayed for them. What did he say? Father, forgive them. That's the way I need to be when people revile me. Brother Joe, like those that might irritate you, Father, forgive them. They're not the enemy. You understand? They're not the enemy. They need Christ. They need Christ. And how can I show them Christ if I lash out to them? Oh, you hypocrite. You see that in the world now. So many people don't want to come to church because they have such a foul taste of Christians. God, forgive us. This is serious. Souls are at stake. Our own souls are at stake. And the glory of God before all things. He committed himself to him who judges righteously. God is the righteous judge, not me. Who himself, here's the gospel again. Listen to this. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, referencing the cross. He paid the debt. A debt we owed we couldn't pay, and one he didn't owe. He freely did it. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Well, how? Well, let's go back to Romans right now with this verse right here. Romans 6. Brother Rich, you like this. I know you talk about Romans a lot. Romans 6. I need to remind you of these things. Again, we need to be students of the Word of God so that when we are in these battles, we'll have an understanding of what God calls us to do and how to do it through the power of the Spirit of God. Romans 6. I'm going to start in verse 3. So again, I'm going to reference that verse again so we don't forget what we were just reading in 1 Peter. Okay? Who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, listen to that, we've died to sins. The Bible's telling me that. God doesn't lie. Might live for righteousness. Let's go to Romans. Right away, what does Paul say here in 3? Or do you not know? That's referencing our minds. These are things we need to know. That as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. This is spiritually. We're all talking about this spiritually. This is the spiritual realm. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly, we also will be in the likeness of his resurrection. Thus saith the word of God. When I was saved, I believed the faith that God made. I believed what Jesus did on the cross. I died with him. dead to sin. And I was raised in the newness of the Spirit of life through the resurrection, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now walk. Now walk by the Spirit, Ed. Don't go back. Like Jeff says, don't go back to the mud. We're in a spiritual battle, brothers and sisters. Don't go back. By whose stripes we were healed. I'm back in 1 Peter. I was spiritually dead. Now I am spiritually healed, born again of the Spirit of God. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. There's that word again. He is the shepherd, the good shepherd, the overseer. Just think of a shepherd in the field with a flock of sheep grazing. He's to oversee and to watch for predators, for he is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is our great shepherd. We're going to go now to chapter 3. We're still in that topic of submission. Even though we were talking about salvation here, we're going to be hitting a topic that is, I believe, is vital. Vital as Christians. Submission and marriage. The Spirit of God has burdened my heart in regards to this in my own life. So this portion of Scripture, we all hear, even if you're not married, be attentive to this, what the Spirit says. We start out with the wives. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, wow, listen to this. Listen to see how powerful the Spirit is within us. It's talking about a wife who has a husband that is not obedient to the word at all. That even if some do not obey the word, they, meaning the husbands, without the word, without a word from the wife, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by reverence. That's how he wants us to live as his children, as his citizens, even in this type of a marriage. Do not let your beauty be the outward adorning of the arranging of the hair, of wearing gold and jewelry, or putting on fine apparel. This is walking in the flesh. You're being conformed to the world. Have your minds renewed. Again, how does God want me to live? And so this is for women. How? But listen, verse 4, here it is. But let it be the hidden person of the heart. This is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting on Christ the fruits of the Spirit here, with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Turn with me to Ephesians. We'll go a little bit deeper into this. Ephesians chapter 5. There's many more, but due to time, I'm sharing with you just a few. Chapter 5, verse 22. Now here we'll see, by God's design, God's order in marriage. Just as he has order in government and in business, he has it also in marriage. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now listen, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, that means men and women, okay, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. I have another verse here. Let me get to that. That's next. Go on. Verse 5. For in this matter, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Here's the example in the Old Testament of Sarah obeying Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. And we see these things within the Word of God, how God wants us as His kingdom citizens. And it's by the power of the Spirit. It is surrendering my will, your will, to the will of God through the power of the Spirit of God through faith. You obey God. Likewise, then, it goes in verse 7. Now we go to the husband. Now, just because there's 6 verses for the wives and only 1 for the husband, you're going to see it's a far greater responsibility and accountability for a husband. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives with an understanding heart and give honor to your wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together for the grace of life. Now listen, that your prayers may not be hindered. Our prayers are hindered, husbands, if we don't respect and love our wives the way God wants us to. Let's turn to Ephesians, because there, right after the verse 24, Paul expands on this and how we are to love our wives, husbands. Listen to this. I put my name in here years ago. Ed, love your wife just as Christ loved the church. So how did he love the church? You see what it says, the next few words, 4 or 5 words? He gave himself for it. Husbands, we're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And that means to give my life for her. I'm to protect her and guard her and cherish her. She's precious. She's my bride. Just as the church is the bride of Christ. He gave his life that we might have life. It's our responsibilities, fathers, or husbands, and as fathers and grandfathers. You see the importance of this. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. He's referring to the church. But if I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church, that it there means my wife. That I might sanctify and cleanse my wife with the washing of the water by the word, that I might present her as a glorious, and if you go on, without spot, without wrinkle, that it should be a holy, it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives. Now we can't do this on our own power, not by flesh, not by might, but by thy Spirit. The realm, the spiritual realm. We are indwelt with the Holy Faith. Do you believe it? You believe it. Believe it. God is not the God of lies. We can live in that spiritual realm, fulfilling this because he says we can. But we have to surrender. Surrender all. Surrender all. With the government, as the government sets up its laws, as in my workplace, now within the marriage. Let me share with you this side note. This is where I wanted to go. Again, I'm going to give you 2 examples. When you reverse the order of things, you have chaos. God's design is perfect. Whether we like it or not, the world's going to tell you differently and or call you names because you are adhering to what his word is. But if husbands love their wives the way Christ loved the church, that's unconditional, self-sacrificial, and forgiving, greater than any other love. So if we reverse that role by any means, we can go back to the garden. I'm not going to save time. I got some notes here, but we saw that in the garden. Well, let's go to chapter 2. We're going to go back to chapter 2. I just want to take you through this scenario. We know it, but I want us to be reminded of it so we can see this. That God gave Adam a commandment, okay? He gave it to Adam, not to Eve. He gave it to Adam, okay? This was even before Eve was formed out of his rib, okay? And it said God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat it. We know this, but You know what? We need to hear it. I need to hear it. But of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, you should not eat, but for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. This is God's command. Okay? God doesn't lie. He gave it to Adam. And then the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. See, at this point, he didn't have his helpmate. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast, every bird, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would name them. Okay, let's just drop down. And we're going to see here in verse 22. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, he made into the woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is my bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of me. Okay, and this is the institution of marriage as we see it, as God has established it. But I want us to see, I don't want to belabor that point. Let's go down to verse 1 of chapter 3. Here's where we see the deception. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman. He didn't go to Adam. He didn't go to the Adam. He went to the woman. That's key. Who is the head in the marriage according to God's institution? The man, and the man is to protect and guard the woman. Satan went to the woman and he said, has God indeed, he planted the seeds of doubt and deception in her mind. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And then Satan says this. We know these things, but let's just go through this. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You know, I mean, she doesn't know because she's never eaten. So this has to be faith. She's never eaten from it. Only not to because God said not to. For God knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Boy, that's the fall of mankind, the pride. Knowing the good and the evil. So when the woman saw, see the temptation there. Temptation is always looks good. That the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. To make one wise, she took and she ate of it. Stop there. Okay, so she ate of it. Satan entered into her heart, her mind, to deceive her. She fell into deception. Turn to Timothy. Hold that place there. I want us to go back and see something here. 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy 2, verse 13. Keep your finger back there in Genesis. For Adam was formed first. We know that. We read that in Genesis, then Eve. Now listen, 14. And Adam was not deceived. He came to his wife, Eve. But the woman was deceived and fell into transgression. Now go back to Genesis. So, she ate of that fruit. She disobeyed God. She was deceived by Satan because of what he tempted her with. So now she turns. Whatever time frame passed, we don't know. Could have been moments, could have been an hour, whatever. She turns and she offers it to her husband. At that point, Adam, the head of the marriage, had two choices. To obey God. Don't eat of that. But he listened to his wife. And we know what happened after that. The fall of man. Satan came in and reversed things. Did it happen somewhere in Scripture? Abraham and Sarah. The promises of the Redeemer through the loins of Abraham. They were well advanced in years. Sarah was barren. At 80 or 90, Sarah was around 80 and Abraham was around 90 when God promised that he would provide them an heir. Many descendants. He promised them. There again, by faith. Years went by. Sarah says to Abraham, no son. No son. He tried to make his nephew one, but God said, no. I've got the one. Trust me. It'll come through you, through your loins. Here's my man, my maidservant. Lay with her, and there will be your heir. That was man's decision. And it was Abraham who obeyed the woman and went in with her and slept with her, and they bore Ishmael. And he had 12 tribes. Later on, a year later, Sarah did give birth to Isaac, and then Isaac gave birth to Jacob and his 12 tribes. We see the results of that disobedience and the usurping of roles today, where you have the Arab world warring against the Jews, demanding that they are the heirs of Abraham. We're going to listen to God. Follow the order in which God calls us to follow. Let's go back to Peter. Let's move on. All right. Finally, all of you, I'm in verse 8 of chapter 3. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not reviling evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this. This is how we're called again as kingdom citizens in this world we live in. In Romans 12, let me turn there. If you want to, you can follow me there. 12, Paul points the same principle out to us in verse 12, 17. He says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Here again, listen to why. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Love covers a multitude of sin. You're going to pour the love of Christ out on those who are our enemies. Again, remembering, like it says in Ephesians, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's the principality and power behind the people that are in front of us in our physical realm. We see them. We think they're the enemy. They need Jesus Christ. That's why we're called to live holy lives. We're to live as the light of this world, as the salt of this world, so that people can see Christ. They need Jesus. This is God's design, brothers and sisters. We're vessels to shine the light of Christ, his love and his truth. We have the power within us. Believe it. Back to Peter. Verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue, again, how we should talk, from evil, and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Again, as we rightfully live, God hears and answers our prayers. He heals all our prayers, but our prayers are hindered if we're not living as he wants us to live according by the power of his Spirit. And his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And we come to verse 13. Now we come to the subject of suffering. How do we conduct ourselves in the suffering? And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Verse 13, that was. 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of those who threaten, nor be troubled. But here it is. But sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks the reason. People are going to mock us and say things about us because of the way we live. So we're to be ready to give reason for the hope that's in us, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For to this, or for it is better, if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Again, we see, what is the will of God? The will of God is trying to, he's using us. The Holy Spirit, again, is sent to be within the church, to be the ambassadors. We are to be the people of God as ambassadors, imploring people, imploring them to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, and that's, and he does that, and he knows that there's going to be those times where we're in this world of darkness living as kingdom citizens. It tells us in the Bible too, it says if those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Not all the time, but you will. I mean, don't be surprised is what we're trying to, I'm trying to say here. Verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I was reading that yesterday, and it just popped out to me. I never saw this before. That he might bring us to God. How does he bring us? What's the next four words? Being put to death, the cross. That's the doorway. In death, there is life. What Christ did on the cross, okay? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Again, we're back in Romans, okay? Through the cross, dying with Christ, being raised again in the resurrection, and made alive, just as Christ or God raised his own Son by the power of his Spirit. We have that same Spirit dwelling within us, by whom also he went and he preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, 120 years, patience of God, until the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. Noah was preaching, judgment is coming, judgment is coming, the flood is coming, the flood is coming. They didn't listen to him. They didn't repent. God is long-suffering, 120 years. Verse 21, there is also an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism. Now get it. So many people, so many denominations say the baptism saves. Baptism, spiritual realm, physical realm. Jesus used the physical realm to teach spiritual truths. Water baptism is a replication of what spiritually took place in a believer's life. It doesn't save you. We're called to be baptized to give testimony. Amen. Baptism is the testimony of the believer who has been transformed. Okay, transformed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. A baby doesn't know. Baby doesn't know this. This is biblical baptism. Okay, so he says, namely baptism. If we go back to Romans again, we've been there, but we just read it. We were baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. Okay. Water baptism was only an ordinance so that a person could give testimony to Christ that what he did in their life. Just as communion, the wine and the bread are only symbols of what Christ did. Okay? In verse 21, this is not the removal of the filth of your flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards man. There again, that's the inwardness of being born again of the Spirit. Through the resurrection, if you see that, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ there at the end of verse 21, who has gone into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and the powers having been made subject to him. There again, he's subject, waiting to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now listen here, this next chapter 4, therefore, since what we just read in regards to what Christ did for us, the just for the unjust, bringing us to God through being put to death and made alive by the Spirit, okay, and through that baptism, therefore, since we're kingdom citizens, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, listen to these are military terms. Arm yourself. Arm yourself. The armor of God? Pastor's been preaching. Arm yourselves also with the same mind. I was talking with the brothers downstairs. Our minds. Put on the helmet of salvation. The battle's for the minds. Satan's going to come at us. He's got the world as his means to do that. All the stuff that comes through TV, I'm going to say, I'll correct it, 99% of it. Be careful. You know, even if it names the name of Christ, you better make sure you're a student of the Word of God, that what you're bringing into your mind, because it's going to then be processed in your mind and held back. We have files. We're like a computer. And then we're going to act out what we bring in. That's why it says we're to renew our minds daily. We are to feed on it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I'm saying the Bible is vital for us. Okay? So arm ourselves also with the same mind of Christ. Now listen to this. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You understand what that's saying there? For he who has suffered in the flesh, we live in two realms, or we spiritual, physical. Walking in the spirit, when I come to that point, been there many times, temptation comes for the lust of the flesh. Walking in the spirit, I'm crying out to God, the Holy Spirit, help me, help me. My flesh is crying out, do it, do it, do it. You're a fool not to. You're passing up this pleasure? That's all right. You can confess your sin later. Do it. And I said, no, no, God, I need your help. No matter how long that duration is, could be a few moments, could be hours. My flesh is suffering. It wants it. It wants it. But when you get to the end of that temptation, no temptation will seize you except for what is common to man. For God is faithful to provide a way out for you. Promise of God. That's why it's important to know the Word of God, because when you get tempted, He is cunning. Just as Jesus used the Word of God in the desert, He had the same mind. You see, my flesh wanted it. It suffered, but I got to the other side and I saw through faith the power of God and the joy that the Holy Spirit flooded my heart with. And each time we do that, that we're faithful, you grow. That's how you grow and you're sanctified. Let's go on. Okay. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh. There again, we're kingdom children of the light. For the lust of men, we're not to live as I formerly lived and with those, the people that I used to associate with and do the things I used to do. But let's go on. For the will of God, we're to live for the will of God. But we have spent enough time, I'm going to put myself in there, of my past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, those I used to hang with. When I walked in licentiousness, the lusts of my flesh, drunkenness, I was there, rivalries, partying, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, and these things that way I used to live, they is referring to my co-workers, my friends I used to hang with and do these despicable things, being blinded by Satan, bound by Satan, now being transformed into the kingdom of light. When I don't do those things, they don't want nothing to do with me. Because the light of Christ convicted them. Shunned even in my own family. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, and they speak evil of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They will give an account to him who is ready. I don't say that in a disrespectful way, because I pray for them, because they don't know what they're doing. They need Jesus. And I'm not going to give in, because the only way they're going to see Jesus in me is if I submit, surrender, and the light of Christ comes from me through the power of the Holy Spirit. God gets all the glory. But I get the byproduct of the joy and the peace and the home that's awaiting me eternally. This life is short. For this reason, verse 6, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. I'm not going to get through all of this. We're getting close. Let me kind of put us in a little bit of fast forward here. I have a few things here that I think are paramount to touch on in this book. Verse 12, chapter 4. Again, we're talking about that topic of suffering. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials. Now remember, if you weren't here last week, go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter tells us the reason for these sufferings. I'm there. You can look later. Verse 6, chapter 1. In this you greatly rejoice. He's talking about our future, talking about our salvation and our inheritance in heaven waiting for us, kept by the power of God. And he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials of suffering. For the genuineness of your faith, the trials come, God allows them to test our faith, the genuineness of it. Are you really? Do you really love me? Being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Jeff's preached on this. The trials come that way. Okay, back to 1 Peter. Though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, there it is again, to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's suffering. In Philippians, Paul said, he said, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Strange. But once you grow to know Christ more and you understand what suffering is meant for, it's for the glory of God. And it's also meant that we are refined. We are more made pure. We're made like Christ unto holiness, not by my power, but by his Spirit. Rejoice to the extent that you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached, okay, it doesn't mean that we are constantly going to be so. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Here's how we know that we're Christians. Some people have asked me in the past, how do you know you're a Christian? Well, I call them birthmarks. This is one of them. This is one of them. If we're living in a manner where people will lash out at us and call us names in this country, we're not like in other countries where to the point of death. But yet here you could be lashed out against, persecuted in a mild form of persecution. You know. And it's not like that we seek persecution, but if you are living in the Spirit, it will come. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, and an evildoer, a busybody, or other people in other people's matters. Now, when he says murder, remember in the Sermon on the Mount, if you think hatred, that's murder. If you think lustful for a woman, it's as if you've done it. He's talking about our hearts. Okay? Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this. You see, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, I'm going to try to get through this last portion in about 5 minutes here. Hang with me. Chapter 5, verse 1. So we're just looking through these last chapters here. We're looking at submission and suffering. We saw that through government, through work, in marriage, in the world. We saw how to submit under when we're being persecuted or in suffering. So now we're going to look at within the church. I didn't see this right away until a couple of days ago. It starts out in chapter 5, and I think this is vital. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Remember, we just read about that Jesus was the shepherd, the overseer of our souls. Well, Christ is in heaven. Those who are called to be elders, there's the qualifications in the Bible in Timothy and Titus, and that's what he's talking about. So you pastors, shelters, overseers are under shepherds of Jesus Christ. So they are the ones that are to shepherd the flock the flock that was purchased by Christ with his blood. That's a very important position to fill, and you don't want to take it lightly. Okay? Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as an overseer. You're going to be protecting them. Remember, the enemy, we'll see later down here. Okay? As an overseer, not by constraint. In other words, don't take this position if somebody forces you to do it. It must be the calling of God. You must be a man of God filled with the Spirit of God. Okay? Not by constraint, but willingly, of a free heart. Okay? Next thing, not for dishonest gain. There's many within the pulpit that are preaching Christ for filthy lucre. They're only out there for themselves. Okay? These are qualified. Listen to this carefully, okay? But do it eagerly, and I add for the Lord. Now listen to this in verse 3. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you. This position here, and I don't like being elevated, doesn't mean that I'm above any of you. We're all the same. Okay? The elder is qualified to stand here by the grace of God, okay? Too many in churches, when you get in this position, I can see how easy it is to become puffed up. It's too easy. It's too easy. And sometimes a congregation doesn't realize it either, okay? But pastors can fall just as easy as you and I can fall. We're not exempt from it, okay? Right? We're not to lord it over. We don't have anything other than you. We're there to shepherd, to nurture, that the sheep would grow up so that more would stand up here. All would be able to preach. Okay? Now listen to this. Here's this last one. And he says, don't lord it over those entrusted to you. Now listen to this. But being examples to the flock. That just smashed me. I don't know how else to put it. As sheep, if you're a student of the Word of God, the person who's standing up here, a man or a woman, better example to the flock. Show some evidence that they're desiring to follow the fruits thereof them. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 7. 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go through there, but narrow the gate, difficult the way that leads to heaven, and only a few find it. Then he talks about, let me just turn there, because real quick, I got it. Hang in there with me. Almost there. This is important. This is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ from the Sermon on the Mount again. I'm always turning there. And then he says after that, okay, he says, beware. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Be careful who's standing up here, he's saying. You will know them by their fruits. If someone is standing up here, and Lord, help me with this, because I don't want to be condescending, that's his judgment, but I find it difficult to follow a man who has jets, mansions, yachts, and as other people, he's living higher and above them. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. What did Jesus have? I'm convicted of this because we live in a prosperous country. We live in a prosperous country. And I've been embedded in my mind to save for my retirement. The Holy Spirit, again, the kingdom of heaven. Who am I listening to? But again, as the Spirit works in each of us, he knows our hearts. But again, what I'm trying to say is that the pastor that stands up here needs to be walking as Christ walked. And that's for you, the sheep, to understand so that you can know that you're following someone who's taking you down the narrow path and is not saying, follow me. He's on the broad path. You don't know it because you're not reading the Word. You don't know it. Next thing you know, you take your last breath and you stand before him. He says, depart from me. God forbid. I don't want that to happen to any of you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Vital. This next section, let's just draw, let me finish this here as examples, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. That's reserved for those who stand up here. They will have a reward waiting for them if they're faithful to their calling. So here, listen to this. So now it says, here's where we come to submit ourselves in humility. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. You see that? He even includes those that are shepherds. Submit to one another. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares to him, for he cares for you. Amen. Now listen, this verse, Jeff's been on it, I've said it. Be sober, because here again, he's the shepherd of the flock, and I told you, there's one out there vicious. They're sheep, wolves in sheep's clothing, okay? Be sober, be vigilant, because that's talking about our minds again, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whomever he may devour. He's talking about the sheep. Resist him. Here's that word Jeff keeps, it pops out even when I'm reading. Steadfast in the faith. There's that word faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Wow. Finish up with this little benediction, these last two verses. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, these momentary light afflictions can't compare, Paul said. They can't, can you, if you read in Corinthians, you should see what he had to go through. These light afflictions can't compare to the glory that awaits us by faith. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Okay. These light afflictions, these sufferings for a little while, that they perfect, see that? Through these sufferings, they perfect, they establish, they strengthen, and they settle. That means we are rooted. We're rooted in the rock, not in the sand. We're rooted. You see that? To him be the glory and the dominion, because he's our king. There it is. The dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's about our minds. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. We said that already. What is the purpose of preaching God's word and teaching God's word? It's to pour truth into our minds. I'm reading my notes here. So that the adversary does not devour us, and so that we can resist him and be steadfast in the faith. As truth begins to take over my thinking patterns, it creates attitudes. Those attitudes become a part of the expression of who we are in Christ. He is the Word. He said to those that he fed, he says, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, Father, you've given me these words. Some are difficult. Some are hard. Some here new in the faith. Some older in the faith. I pray, O Holy Spirit of God, that you would take your word that has been planted in the hearts, that it would be good soil, that it would bring forth a harvest of bounty, 30, 60, 90-fold for your glory. Help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to put on the mind of Christ. Help us to realize that by faith, what you have accomplished, that we are your children, temples of God, O Holy Spirit, that you dwell within us, that you want us to walk in the Spirit. Father, I pray that we would do that the rest of this week until we come back again. We give you all the thanks and the praise and the honor and glory because you are worthy, O Lord, the Lamb of God who suffered and died for us. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, communion. Brian? You have, last week, if you weren't here, this is a worship, it's a cappella. You have the songs. I usually share a verse with you or so, but I would just like you just, you don't have to close your eyes, bow your head, listen to this, sing along with it, prepare our hearts for the table to receive the elements that represent what Christ did for us. May the Spirit lead us in this. And if there's anything you need to deal with, God, may the Holy Spirit help us to prepare our hearts.
He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. There in the ground, his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. The grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, born with the precious blood.
this is your heart's desire, stand with me. Christ alone. Is Christ alone? Is he yours alone? He is ours and I am his. Bought with the blood. Bought with the blood. Father, your children that are standing, they are yours. I pray, O Holy Spirit, minister to them throughout this week, your word that has been spoken. Bring it to remembrance, Father, for we need it. For the course of our day, we are confronted by the world, our own flesh, and the enemy. But we know, because your word tells us, and we claim the promises, that he who is in us is greater than all of these put together. All for your glory. You may be seated. Can I have the two Steves come, please? You can be seated. And as always, please hold until we all can partake together. You can cue that up again while they're distributing, if you can.
My hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter. My all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless space, this gift of love.
This gift of love. The night that he was betrayed, he took the bread. I just heard those songs. The gift of love, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that when I could be reconciled through the death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus said, "This is my body given unto you." And he said, "Partake of this in remembrance of me." Again, this is only a symbol of what our Lord has done. We're remembering what he's done. Take with me. And likewise, the cup that represents the blood of Christ, that washes away all our sin. As far as the east is from the west, God remembers it no more. Don't allow the enemy to accuse you when you have come in true repentance, admitting your fault. We are to confess our sins, for he is righteous. He'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When God says that, he meant it. But again, the devil. No. You sure? Yes, I'm positive. I stand on a rock. He said so. The God of love, the God of truth, the blood of Christ. Do this in remembrance of him. That concludes, but yet we do have some goodies and coffee downstairs. I want to just thank you all. I probably went a little bit longer than normal, but I was led by the Spirit of God. I believe that I needed to. There's much more. I encourage you, be in the Word. So come on downstairs, everyone. Let's fellowship in the Lord, because we stand in him alone.
This is the power of Christ.
And I forgot to bring the envelope with the offerings. I got it at home. Yes, in my desk.
to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny.
Yeah, I will.
No,
I do. I got it. So, you want to.